Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله هو الغني الحميد صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has blessed the Ummah with the name Al-Mughni. In the last two sessions, previously, the name Al-Ghaniyu was explained. Al-Ghaniyu means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghani, completely independent. He is free from any kind of need or any kind of a want. He is completely independent. He is the rich one. So when he is Al-Ghani, the next name is Al-Mughni. Al-Mughni means that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes you rich also. So he is the enricher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the enricher. So any blessings that is given to you, in which you feel that now you are independent and completely sufficient, and that you don't need the assistance of anyone else or anything in this dunya, that supply is given to you only by Al-Mughni, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah makes you ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you also ghani. Now just to translate Al-Mughni, that he is the enricher, there are two types of wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give to an individual, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim. The first type of wealth is something which is completely connected to this dunya. So for an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of this dunya, open the doors of the wealth of this dunya for an individual. So he will benefit from the wealth of this dunya, something that is pertaining only to this dunya. But the real wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, the scholars have mentioned, is the special kind of wealth. And that wealth comes in the form of iman first. That wealth is in the form of iman. Iman is the greatest wealth. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Mughni, the enricher, and that he gives you wealth, the scholars have mentioned the real wealth that can be given to anyone is iman. So a believer, a person with iman, he is a very rich man. He is a very, very rich man, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him iman. There is nothing greater than iman. This is something that we need to understand. You can be a human being in this dunya, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the wealth of this dunya. So everything you have, but you don't have iman. So you have everything of this dunya, but no iman. Another person is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given him too much of dunya, but he has iman. That individual is rich. Because dunya is not that important, iman is more important. And then you get the third category of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them an abundance of dunya and also iman. So this is what we would call nurun ala nur. This is the great fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us one very special dua. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Allah give us and enrich us also in this dunya. Wa fil akhirati. And also Allah make us rich in the hereafter. Give us all the good in the hereafter. But the hereafter can only be given if you have iman. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mughni. Sometimes Allah can just give everything pertaining to this dunya. Everything which is part of this material world that we live in, bas. And not iman. But those that are very precious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, then Allah gives them also iman. So how grateful we have to be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us iman. Imagine without iman, where would we be? Everything is because we have iman. Without iman, there is nothing. Nothing whatsoever. That is why the scholars say, Al-Mughni, Allah is the one who will make you wealthy and rich. He is the enricher. The enricher is at the first level, which is with iman. If you have iman, whether you have dunya, whether you don't have dunya, consider yourself to be a very wealthy individual. Just yesterday I had an individual who came to me after Maghrib Salah, and he said to me, Imam Sahib, are you the Imam? I said, yes. So he said, can I ask you one question? Have you got a few minutes? I said, yes, I have a few minutes. Don't worry. And so I looked at his face, and he started off by saying that, Imam Sahib, I came in this country as a refugee. My parents, both of them, are in Afghanistan. As a young lad, a young boy, I came in this country, UK. Now I know that my parents are Muslims and I am also a Muslim and I have the love for Islam. But unfortunately, some things have happened to me in my life and it is not the right choice. And it is because of this I am troubled. So I said to him that, you know what, take your time, explain to me. What is the issue? He said to me, Imam Sahib, Alhamdulillah, you know, I've been a very strong individual, very fit. I've lost a lot of weight. And he must be only 25, 24. And he said to me, look at my grey hair that I have. And he showed it to me. I am not happy. There is this burning that is inside me. My heart is burning. So I said to him, what is the issue? So he said, when I came to this country as a refugee, moving from one house to another house, from one area to another area. So I've just come from Birmingham to Leicester washing cars. That's what I do, I wash cars. But when I was 13 years of age, touching 14 years of age, going to this school, there was this very nice, pretty girl that was studying with me. And I also liked her. She was very pretty, not a Muslim. And I felt that this was an opportunity for me, a chance for me to go out with this girl. I was completely alone. I could do whatever I want. He was balig. So he said that I was speaking with this girl and we got a bit close. And then this girl said to me that, tell me, what is your religion? What is your religion? So he said that when she said to me, what is my religion? I felt that maybe she doesn't like Muslims. Maybe she won't like Muslims. If I say to her that I am a Muslim, then she won't go out with me. So at the spur of the moment, without thinking, and I did not even have that knowledge at that age, I said to her that I'm a Christian. I said to her, I'm a Christian. And we were going out and we were friends and we stayed together. But every time I was in her company, my heart did not allow me to be happy. And eventually now, I have broken off from her and she is out of my life. Just to cut the story short. So he said to me, Imam Sahab, can you tell me, am I a kafir or am I a Muslim in the house of Allah here today? I have just prayed my Maghrib Salah. So I touched him on the shoulders and gave him half a hug. And I said to him, brother, I said it in Urdu, I said, Khuda ki kasam. That's what he understood better. I says, Wallahi, I am a witness to your iman. What am I? I am a witness to your iman. Now when you want to, you see, when shaitan is with you, you can't give him paracetamol. You have to give him a big punch. And that punch only comes by the name of Allah. What does it come? By the name of Allah. So I said to him, I as an imam, take an oath in the house of Allah. I am your gawah that you are a mu'min, you are a believer. And you see this young boy, 25, 24 maybe, he had this full smile, this glow. And he looked at me and he said, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. I said, but what you did was wrong. What you did was wrong. Very, very wrong. And for that you must repent. For that you must repent. The guna is not the guna of the fact that you have left Islam. No, because your heart was intact. Your iman was in your heart. But you, for a reason, gave false information to a person. So this false information that you gave to deceive somebody, but your iman is still there. Your iman is there, your iman is intact. And he said, are you sure? And from upstairs to downstairs, he was walking with me. I said, brother, I am 100% sure. In fact, you have the greatest iman, because for so many years, there is this fire that is burning inside you, that what is my inner condition, who am I? But it is shaitan that is troubling you. Every time you went to the masjid, shaitan said, you're not a believer. Every time you were reciting the Quran, shaitan said, oh, remember you said you're a Christian, you're not a believer. When you went for your Jummah Salah, shaitan said that you're not a believer. So all the time shaitan is playing with your mind, and if you give any attention to shaitan, believe me, he will make you a kafir. And so say, A'udhu Billah, and delete this thinking. And once you have done tawbah, it is the end. You close the chapter. You have always been an iman, and inshallah, we pray that we depart with iman. Amen. And so this is what I'm saying to you, my respected brothers, that the greatest ni'mah that al-mughni, the one who gives you wealth, the one who makes you rich. Richness is by your iman. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us iman and that we are Muslim, that is the greatest ni'mah. That is why in one hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah. You see, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the people say that, okay, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made so and so person a Christian or a Hindu or a Jewish man or an atheist or whatever? Understand what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. Every child that is born a Muslim. Every child that is born a Muslim. Every child, even if he was born in a Hindu family, according to the hadith, yuladu ala al-fitrati, he is born upon the innate condition, upon fitra, and fitra is to worship only one God. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the problem is the environment spoils him. What does it do? The environment corrupts him. The environment that he is in. He might be in an environment of kufr, shirk. So when he is growing up, he will adopt also shirk. He might be in an environment where he is taking a human being to be the son of God, aliyazu billah. So this will also be his belief. So it is the surroundings that corrupt an individual, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given iman to everyone. A child that is born upon fitrah. And so this is the meaning also, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained his beautiful name, Al-Mughni, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the enricher. And you will find some amazing incidents. The late Ahmed Didat in South Africa with him, some of you might have seen this debate. It was not actually a debate, but just a program. Gary Miller from Canada in South Africa came and he was sharing the platform with the great Da'i, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, Ahmed Didat. And this Gary Miller was a mathematician, a Canadian, a very intelligent individual, a man who has written many books. When he was speaking, he did not even disclose his real identity. He actually said he is Gary Miller, and that is how he was introduced. But he was actually a Muslim giving a lecture, hoping that others would also understand what is right and what is wrong. But what he said amazingly in that majlis of his, he said that, how is it possible for people not to embrace the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then he gave an example. He said, if you study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's followers, every one of them were required to use a lot of water. They were required to use a lot of water. And to use a lot of water in the desert. Water is considered as gold dust in the desert. Gold dust. You save water. And if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-iyadhu billah, was an imposter, he would not burden his followers with a commandment that would give them a bit of taklif, hardship. He would not do that. But if you look at the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every now and then he is saying to his companions, stay in the state of wudu. Stay in the state of wudu. The most precious commodity in Arabia is water. He is saying, use it. What is he saying? Use it. That is the most precious commodity. But he is saying, use it. Stay in wudu, that is even better. You come for Fajr, must have wudu. Zohar, wudu. You touch the Quran, wudu. You do tawaf of the Kaaba, wudu. If you do wudu, then do two rakats of tahiyatul wudu also in the masjid. And if you do ghusl on a Friday, that is also my sunnah. So if you look at the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is all about wudu, using water. How is it possible that for a man, if he was not the Nabi of Allah, if he wanted to please the people, why would he say to them that you must always do wudu in Arabia? Why? So he said he can only be the messenger and the prophet of Allah to defy logic and to burden the people with that which Allah has commanded him. And then he said, it is because of wudu I, Gary Miller, embrace Islam. Allah gives hidayat. Al-Mughni, Allah made him rich. Actually, he was not rich in the days of Kufr. He was a professor in mathematics, a great lecturer, everything. But Allah only made him rich in dunya. Allah made him rich only in dunya. Allah opened the doors of this dunya for him. But real richness, the person who is wealthy, number one, it begins with your iman. So when you have iman, you are seriously a very rich individual. You have a lot of wealth because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you iman. Number two, the scholars have mentioned, explaining the name Al-Mughni, that the real true wealth that Allah gives you is iman. And then number two, the true wealth that Allah gives you, the true wealth that Allah gives you is sacred knowledge. What is it? Sacred knowledge. Ilm. Ilm, if Allah opens the door of ilm upon some individual, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him very, very rich. Very rich. That is sacred knowledge. Knowledge of the Quran and knowledge of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُهُ فِي الدِّينِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with somebody, then Allah opens the doors of understanding for him, understanding of knowledge. يُفَقِّهُهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah gives him the knowledge to understand what is right and what is wrong in his deen. He will know what is halal and he will know what is haram. And so the true wealth that can be given to somebody, you can have everything of this dunya, but if Allah has given you the understanding of the Quran and hadith, you are extremely rich, very, very rich. There is one amazing hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, La hasad. A Muslim cannot do hasad. A Muslim cannot do hasad. Hasad means jealousy, mashallah. A Muslim cannot be jealous. There is no jealousy. La hasad. There is no jealousy. Jealousy is not lawful in Islam. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if jealousy was lawful, if jealousy was lawful, it would only be lawful for two things. If you really want to be jealous, then jealousy can only be in two types of people, in two individuals. So for an example, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to a lady that the right of your husband is so much, the right of your husband is so much, that if I was to ask anyone to do sajda to any other creation besides the creator, I would have said to the ladies that they should do sajda to their husbands. They should do sajda to their husbands. Don't do that, Umar, at home. This is not jais in our shariat. This is just a way of saying, so that they understand. That is the honor and the right maqam status that Allah has given to the husband. But even this is not jais. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this is also not jais. In the same way, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if hasad was jais, if it was permissible, it would only be for two types of people. Only two types of people. Rajulun atahu Allahu al-Quran. A man who Allah has given him the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran. فهو يقوم به آناء الليل وآناء النهار. And he has mastery over the Quran, and he recites the Quran during the day, during the night, and he understands the Quran, and he promotes the Quran during the night and the day, and his entire life is about deen, about this knowledge, about Quran and Hadith. And so he is a great scholar. Allah has opened up the book, the speech, the glorious speech for that individual. Allah has opened up the kalam for him, and he becomes a great scholar. And if you would want to be envious and if you want to be jealous of anybody, it would have been for that category of person. And then number two, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمَالِ. Number two is that person in my ummah that Allah has given him a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth. فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُ بِهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَارِ. And Allah has made him rich. But what kind of a rich man is he? He is sakhi. And he is spending the money in the path of Allah in the night, during the day. Night and day, giving, 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 giving. These are the two individuals that a person should be envious of. Ghibta aadmi kare, rush kare. To ye jaiz. But jealousy is not jaiz. Jealousy is not jais. This tells you, subhanallah, that the knowledge, sacred knowledge, is such a great wealth that only Allah gives. Why? Because this knowledge was given to the messengers. This knowledge was given to the prophets. And the mirath, the inheritance, the mirath is given to the to those who are the learned people. That is why I had also explained this hadith in one of the Urdu dars. Somebody came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they said to her, can you tell us the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she gave the most beautiful answer. No other lady in the world can give this answer. And Aliyazubillah, the Shia community accuse her and the daughter of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Hafsa, both the wives, of poisoning Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you even imagine that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if ever for any human being two entire rukus of the Quran have been revealed to mark the virtue of one personality, then that is the wife of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. History will tell you that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away from this dunya, the auspicious head was on the lap of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So when she was questioned, can you tell us the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said, Kana khulukuhu al-Quran. The character is the Quran. The character is the Quran. What does that mean? What is the character is the Quran. The character is the Quran. What is that? What is the meaning of the character is the Quran? What she is trying to say is that the glorious speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Quran. And the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the Quran, where Allah has given a command to do things, and in the Quran where Allah has given the command to abstain from things, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that individual and personality that will show you complete compliance and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what she is saying, that the more a person is closer to the Quran and Sunnah, He is the one that has got the best character. And the best character was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because there was no one closer to the Quran than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One mas'ala very important that we need to understand. Sometimes you will find some people say that, oh, even the kuffar are better in character than the Muslims. What? Even the kuffar are better in character than the Muslims. And they say this. Bhai, ghair Muslim hai lekin humse achhe hai. Kya kehte hai? Ghair Muslim hai lekin humse. It's wrong. What is it? Wrong. Because the first step of good character is to believe in Allah. What is it? Believe in Allah. You can only have good character if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no faith, there is no iman, there is no recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can you have that character? Good character does not only mean good speech and a smile. But the best character means obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Al-Mughni, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani. And He gives wealth to individual. The first is Iman. The second is sacred knowledge. And number three, and inshallah this is to conclude, something very, very important. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses an individual, iman is given to him. And if Allah wants, knowledge is also given to him. But then another great wealth is also given to him. Now, we can all ask for this wealth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to be a scholar or hafiz of the Quran to acquire this wealth. This wealth means complete reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the highest level, what is it? Highest level. So for an example, when Allah likes a person, when Allah likes a person, Allah changes the heart to such a level and his iman is boosted up at such a level that he now has complete reliance. The needle of the heart cuts away from human beings. The needle of the heart cuts away from the mother, the father, the sisters, the brothers, the surroundings, the dunya. The needle of the heart is cut away from everything of this dunya. And the needle of the heart only points in one direction. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that is done can only be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his connection and his reliance and his tawakkul upon Allah becomes phenomenal. And they will do things which we will think that it is perhaps not the right thing for us to do because we don't understand their level of taqwa. We don't understand their level of taqwa. I say this that once we were in Portugal, and we were with Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, and Maulana Yusuf Sahib said that for 800 years Muslims had ruled Spain. How much? 800 years. 800 years, Spain and Portugal. So the Dars of Bukhari has ended. And inshallah, we want to start the Dars of Bukhari in this country. So we were in Portugal. So the Sheikh is saying, let's go to the outskirts and look for some land and a property, and this is where we will open up a Darul Uloom, and we start qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What should we start? Qala Rasulullah, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now we are going in this country, you don't even speak the language and you're all around looking, and then there are these very expensive plots in the most elite area. So Maharaj Sahib say, achha, yahan thoro, stop kare. Achha ji, is jagah ko le lete. Kisko le lete? We take this. We haven't got a penny in the pocket. What is it? There is no penny in the pocket. And what is he saying? Skolele. Me and Maulana Izwan sir, we're just looking. This is our iman. What is it? This is our tawakkul. This is my tawakkul. So down. And these great scholars, I'm talking about Sheikh Yusuf sir, Allah give him a long life, my teacher. See, because take this plot. And then we were driving, and he sees something even bigger. No, no, no. Cancel that. Isko choro. Take this. This would be even better. Even more expensive. 1 million more. Allahu Akbar. And we are deciding this, that. Eventually he chooses. And then he just looked at us and he said, in Urdu, he says, I know you people are thinking, what is this? We haven't got the money. And he says, are we buying property for ourselves? Is it your property? Are you buying it for you? Don't you know Allah is Al-Ghani? What is it? What did he say? Don't you know Allah is Al-Ghani? And when you have a connection with Ghani, He will make you Mughni. What will He make you? Mughni. You will become independent, but you lot haven't reached that level, have you? We are His students. He does our Islam. You have not reached that. Why do you have your eyes upon human beings that what will happen, what will happen? The needle of the heart should be upon who? And I am in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where He pointed is where this property still is there today and teaches. Qala, qala Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing, brothers. You find some people that their reliance completely is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is al-mughni. When Allah gives wealth to somebody, He cuts off from people. People, nobody, you can't help me. You can only help me if Allah wills. But Allah can help me. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an had a bag of dates. وَعِنْدَهُ صُبْرَةٌ مِنَ التَّمَرِ. And he had a bag of dates. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Bilal, ye khajur ki thali, you know, you have a bag of dates, what is it? Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an said that, Hazrat, I'm saving it for a rainy day. What is it? For tomorrow. For a difficult time, maybe. And I've got something to eat. So I have this as, I'm storing this bag with dates. Only dates. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Anfiq ya Bilal. Oh, Bilal, someone like you? Anfiq, spend. What is this? You are my sahabi, spend. How can you have one bag of dates and you are saving it till tomorrow? And then he said, La takhsha min zil arsh, ya Bilal, anfiq. La takhsha min zil arshi iqlala. Oh, Bilal, don't fear decrease. Don't fear any kind of decrease from the one who owns the throne. Don't fear any kind of decrease from the one who owns the throne. What is this? One bag of dates, what will that do to you? Give this, have your reliance. And these were elite people. Not everybody can reach that level. Nobody. You see, when we go home, look at our fridge. We do shopping, park, supermarket for 4 weeks. How many? 4 weeks. Rice bag, 220 kilos, and roti this much, gosht, one whole lamb. Sometimes two lambs, everything. Chips, 5 bags, 6 bags. The pantry is full, so much, mashallah. You know, chocolates here, this, that, shopping we do for 4 weeks. How much? And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is saying to Bilal, what is this? One small bag? Is this your tawakkul upon Allah? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed Asr salah. After Asr, quickly rushed to his blessed chamber, went inside the room in a rush, and then he came out also after Rabit. Sahaba was shocked and wondering, O Rasulullah, what happened? Why did you run quickly in your room? What happened? Everything okay? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I remembered that there is a piece, a fragment of some gold that I have, and it is in my room. I went quickly inside and I said to the wives and the Ahl Bayt, the family, that this amount should quickly be also, it should be distributed and given in charity also very, very quickly. So they are sorting it now to give it in the path of Allah.
Allah.
Even this much, a small piece of gold, that was the tawakkul. Tawakkul. So the ulama say, Al-Mughni, Allah gives a person the wealth of this dunya. If Allah gives wealth and iman, that is excellent. But there are so many people, Allah gives them only wealth, but there is no iman. So number one, the greatest wealth, that is iman. Number two is sacred knowledge. Knowledge of the Quran and hadith. Hadith. That is why, my respected brothers, sitting in these majalis, maybe you won't find it now. In fact, you will even feel it in your lifetime. I know some of the youth that are here, I can count. That since I have been doing imamat, their faces are in front of me. And alhamdulillah, perhaps if they were not to be here, my heart would break. Because of that love, and that gawahi, that from the beginning, and when you study, and when you sit, and when you understand the Quran and the hadith, your iman also becomes very, very strong, very powerful. The knowledge that Allah gives you, Allah makes you Faruq. What does He do? Not those, you know, you come for 1 week, 3 weeks, holiday, 1 week again. No, that's not istiqamat. Istiqamat is continuously. Like when you have your own business, when you have your wealth, when you have your shop, when you have your own business, you want to look after it. Why? Because you see the fruits of it in this dunya. But Allah is testing us. So Al-Mughni, the greatest wealth, is sacred knowledge. And then number three, the greatest wealth is that high elite level of reliance and tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which the highest level is with Anbiya. And then when you look at the Ummah, then the second level is with the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. And then you find certain individuals that are the chosen ones, that their level of Iman is also very, very high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. InshaAllah, just for a few minutes, we purify and cleanse the hearts and think of the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let the heart think of the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is spiritual purification. InshaAllah, just for a few minutes, if you close your eyes and do muraqabah. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.